Welcome to Two Beers In. I'm JD Miller.
Hey everybody, this is Bobby Klein.
And we're excited to talk this week. We're making our way around the NFC North.
Absolutely. Every week for the next 3 weeks, we'll be previewing a different team from the NFC North to get you ready for football season.
I'm already ready. First weekend of preseason action. I had my laptop going. I'm not saying the game I was watching was illegally streamed, but it was out of market.
Okay.
And then I watched another game, you know, on the big screen at the same time. I was multitasking, too. I had my newborn in one arm,
yeah,
feeding with the computer on my lap. And that, and all I'm thinking is, just don't spit up on the computer. Don't spit up on the computer.
So would we say that you came into training camp this year in the best shape of your life for football season? Is that what you're telling me?
I am.
Sounds like you were ready.
Yeah. Well, I highly recommend, if you want to get the most out of football season, to have a kid right before it starts, because that kid just has to sit. You just got to hold it.
Yeah.
You just got to sit. You got to feed it, change it. But you're sitting there watching a lot of football.
You don't have to move.
No, it's glorious. It's glorious. But I am very excited about this football season. I watched a few preseason games, and I'm one of those freaky freaks who likes the third and the fourth quarter of preseason games.
Yeah. Well, you're a big college football fan.
Huge college football fan. I want to see those players. Are they going to make the team? You've heard the story, maybe even leading up to the draft, or they're undrafted. Are they going to do it? Are they going to make it? You know, even watching Jordan Lynch, I was a local guy cheering for Jordan Lynch in the Bears game.
And Jimmy Clausen. Let's not lie. You're a big-time Notre Dame fan, so.
Jimmy looked good.
Versus the scrubs, he did look good. Third stringers, fourth stringers, he cleaned house.
You know what? He's a third stringer right now. So I think he's second stringer now, but should be anyway. But he looked good.
Yeah.
I thought he looked good. So I really enjoy this, but there's still a lot of question marks for a lot of teams right now.
And
we're going to talk to friend of the podcast, Bob Bradovich, award-winning sports journalist in Wisconsin, broadcaster. And so we're going to find out what he is seeing at camp and what he's seeing and hearing up through the ether up there, I guess you could say.
And while we talk to him, JD, we are drinking a delicious Evanston, Illinois brew.
Not made of ether. I don't know where I came up with ether. Anyway.
Temperance Beer Co.'s Greenwood Beach. What's unique about this beer, JD?
It is an ale with pineapple. It's a blonde, made in Evanston. It's actually pretty good.
I can safely say I've never had a beer with pineapple. And if you're thinking, a lot of people, whenever they, don't put fruit in my beer, don't worry. It's not like a sharp.
What was that impression?
Don't put fruit in my beer.
I can see the commercial.
That's
right
going to come back on one of our shows, Jay. But don't worry. You don't taste the pineapple. Like it's hints. So it's just a tiny dab, all right? So don't worry. It's not fruit in your beer. It tastes good.
It's almost like it's just a sip of pineapple.
Oh, and you know what? Coming up later this week, look at that segue. This is 180 episodes, and we know what we're doing at this point. Just a Sip will be on later on this week. It's like 5 to 10 minutes. It's a taste of what you usually get in these Two Beers In shows. And this week, we had Brett Newsky on Just a Sip, interviewed him about his latest album. We featured his music last week in episode 179, so now we got to talk to him, have him on the show.
A interesting guy. Think the guy's eaten chicken feet, rode a scooter that he shouldn't through Vietnam.
Yeah.
Had a guy who's not even a full doctor, took some medical classes, remove a cyst from his
leg.
For
like $8?
Yes.
Paid $8 to have a cyst removed?
But also had just bizarre experience. You'll have to listen to Just a Sip later this week. It's exciting stuff.
Yeah, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Bob Bradovich. But before we do, we want to make sure you are following us on Twitter for all the news about the show. We always have reaction to certain things. If you want to talk preseason with us, we'll always interact with you on Twitter at Two Beers In. It's Two Beers In, the number two, not spelled out. Follow us on Twitter. You can also email the show, twobeersin@gmx.com.
You can also always find our episodes on sportsmockery.com. And I held the girl closer than was safe. Take what you want from me. I'm not afraid to turn around to see you by my side. Hey, I- We're joined now by Bob Bradovich of ABC's WQOW. Bob has covered 3 Super Bowls, 4 Rose Bowls, 2 Frozen Fours, play-by-play for WIAA hockey and state basketball. He's been honored by the Wisconsin Baseball Coaches Association as the Man of the Year. He's a Tom Butler Award winner, Wisconsin Broadcaster Association's Best Sports Reporting Award winner, and friend of the podcast. Welcome, Bob.
You know, when you read it all together like that, it actually sounds impressive.
It makes people wonder, why is he coming on this podcast?
Well, exactly.
What bet did Bob lose?
Yeah, that's right.
Bob and I go way back. Bob actually got me my first job, for those of you who are new to the podcast, got me my first job in sports broadcasting, and then he left that station, and I took his job then.
Oh, boy.
So I actually owned my first 2 jobs in broadcasting to Bob. So, hey, it's great to have you on, Bob.
Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to talk to you. You know, when you read the bio there, it reminds me that I need to update that and add Final Four on that, too.
There you go.
But
that's the last time we talked. I don't know if you recall. It was during the NCAA tournament, and I threw my 2 cents out there. I think I said the Badgers weren't going to get by Arizona.
Yes, you did.
Well, you were happy to be wrong in that circumstance.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, as I always tell people, if you're relying on me for gambling information, don't do that. Find a good growth mutual fund. Put your money there.
There you go.
Well, hey, let's talk about the Packers. There's some interesting things that are happening with Green Bay, and let's start on the defensive side of the ball. You get Old Man River, Julius Peppers, going there. How is he working out? It sounds like they're playing him at end, at linebacker. What's going on there?
Well, what's going on is that, I'll just say this, JD and Bobby, it's an upgrade from what they had before. And if you look at the Packers' defense, it was not their strongest point last year. But I think that also goes to the fact that the offense wasn't what it was when Aaron Rodgers was healthy. When you look at when Rodgers was out, well, they went 2-4-1. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the two go hand in hand, even though they're, you know, you're talking about two distinct sides of the ball. Peppers, again, I don't know that you can draw a whole lot from preseason games. They played one. He got a few snaps, didn't play a whole lot. Again, from what I've been reading and seeing, I keep hearing reports that he looks good and he's in shape. I think a veteran guy like that isn't going to, you know, I don't think he has a whole lot to prove in training camp. So I think a guy like that is going to, you know, get himself in shape, get familiar with the systems, get familiar with what Dom Capers wants him to do in that defense. And once the regular season comes around, I think that's when they're going to kind of turn him loose a little bit. No, he is most certainly not at his prime. And, J.D., I know you're the Vikings fan. You and I could sit here and argue for probably hours about who got the better aging defensive lineman. Was it the Bears with Jared Allen, or was it the Packers with Julius Peppers? If I'm going to pick one or the other, I'm going to go with Peppers. But again,
really?
Yeah, and it's only because, J.D., I think it's because in the games I've paid close attention to, which is Packers versus Bears, Packers versus Vikings, I saw Peppers do a lot more in those games than Allen on a down-by-down basis. Peppers is the kind of guy that you had to account for with a couple guys. Allen really didn't show me a whole lot. Every once in a while he would get the good rush going and use his quickness to get around the edge and he'd get his sack and then do his sack dance and the Vikings fans get all excited. But I think, again,
yes,
if you're just going to look at who's gonna help which defense more, in my mind, I think it's Peppers, but then again, I'm pretty biased on that.
Well, another guy that they added, and this time was in the draft, was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. And they've moved him. He's going to be a free safety, but right now he's listed as a backup free safety. Do you think right now that's kind of just to light a fire under him, or do you think he's going to start the season as the number 2 safety? And do you think they're going to bring him in certain packages if that's the case?
It could be any number of things. It could be that. It could be that he, frankly, isn't up to speed in the system and they want to bring him along slowly, and at some point, maybe 3rd or 4th preseason game or else that time when the season rolls around, you wind up with him as a number one. I don't know that you would draft a guy like that at a position of need if you didn't think that he was going to help you right away. Mm-hmm. there again, I think if it's just me speculating here, I think it's as more of a situation where they just want to, you want to bring him along solely and not throw too much at him. But I would be shocked if he was not starting by the beginning of the season, because I just, excuse me, I think he's better than what they have back there. Although, you know, Micah Hyde's a nice player, and they've got some other guys as well that, you know, but I think adding him kind of shores up an area of need. But you also have to look at it, again, this ties back into what we were talking about Peppers. If they can get a little better pass rush, well, then that takes some pressure off the back end as well. Hmm.
So looking at this, you've got the Bears with just so many weapons at receiver, tight end, Vikings with the incredible rushing game. Have the Packers done enough to combat that on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I guess that remains to be seen. I think one of the biggest factors for the Packers is the health of Clay Matthews. And as dominant as he's been at times, he's had the injuries. He's had the kind of the chronic hamstring type injuries, which really negates his best weapon, which is the speed off the edge. He had the thumb injury last year. Hopefully that's something that's not going to set him back too much. I guess that remains to be seen once you start getting into the real kind of contact. But I think there's a few question marks. The issue, I think, for the Packers, if they can stay healthy on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to be able to outscore people. And, you know, you look back even in 2010, which is the season that they made that great run late and through the playoffs, they were able to outscore people. That was not a dominant defense by any stretch of the imagination. That wasn't the 96 team or even the 97 team that could put out some all-pro caliber players and a Hall of Famer in Reggie White. This was a kind of a pedestrian defense with a couple exceptions, Charles Woodson being one, Matthews being another. Mm-hmm. But, again, I think when you're looking at that team and the weapons they have and the fact that, by all reports, Aaron Rodgers is in some of the best shape of his life, he has always been a very cerebral quarterback, and I think his leadership skills are getting better. So I think, again, if you do a couple tweaks on that defense and, you know, let the offense do its thing, I think that should win you a number of games.
Well, let's talk about some of those guys that Aaron Rodgers will be throwing to. One of those guys he won't be throwing to this year is JerMichael Finley. And so they're kind of, it looks like they're doing a little bit of a tight end by committee, is what I would look at it as right now. I don't know if you'd sum it up better than that. With Corliss, he's listed at number one, but you got Bostic and Taylor right there. Is it really an open competition there, or do you think this is something that they run by committee this year?
At this point, I'm kind of leaning towards the committee side of things. The other guy to take a look at is Richard Rodgers, who's a freshman out of Cal, spelled the same way as a quarterback.
Well, that's a leg up right there.
Obviously they're not related. I think we got that part of it down. But, yeah, I think it is going to be a tight end by committee. And, you know, the Finley injury is really unfortunate because he had the potential of being a really, really good tight end, one of the better ones in the NFL, just because of his speed and where he could stretch the defense. Had never quite reached the potential, although, you know, obviously you're still, you know, a younger guy. But I think you're not going to get that kind of production. I don't think anybody that they have at tight end is going to give you that kind of production. But more than likely, it would be the, you know, number of guys sharing things. Bostic has flashed some things at times. Rodgers had some nice catches in the preseason game. Corliss had a drop. Taylor is more of a special teams ace, kind of a guy who likes to mix it up a little bit. Colt Lyerla was a very interesting prospect that they brought in there. He had some trouble in his college career at Oregon. Mm. He was a highly recruited player coming out of high school and then ran into some issues there. And kind of surprised some people because it went against form for the Packers to bring in a guy like that who had a very recent checkered past.
Sure.
But he's got a knee sprain and is going to be out for a while. And that's tough if you're a fringe guy as it is to be missing this part of training camp where you can't really, you know, show what you're capable of doing in those early practices and you know, those early preseason games where you're going to get more of an opportunity to play. I don't think that that bodes well for his time with the team. So, again, tight end, I don't know that it's going to be a position of strength. I think at this point you just want somebody who can fill that role, block in the run game, do some downfield blocking, and be that safety valve when Rodgers needs somebody to throw to.
Does that put a little more pressure on Eddie Lacy coming off of a big season? People think he's going to be one of the top five running backs in the league. Well, without a star tight end, he could see himself in a little bit of a blocking role a little bit more. What do you see from Eddie?
I think he's, whether or not he reaches the production he had last year, I think that remains to be seen. But they also have some other guys who can give you a good change of pace. You got James Starks, who's kind of a leaner, taller guy, but he's that classic running back who always falls forward and never seems to lose yardage. And he looked really good in that opening series down at Tennessee last week in the preseason game. Granted, it's preseason and is played in an absolute monsoon down there in Nashville, but Starks gives you something. And Dwan Harris, before he got hurt last year, was like a shiftier, third down kind of change of back. So they will be able to kind of share the load at running back, although I think when Lacy had it going last year, he was an awful, tough guy to bring down. I think back to that Dallas game that the Packers were dead in the water at that game and then managed to rally in the second half. And this was with Matt Flynn at quarterback. But a lot of that was Eddie Lacy and his running, the fact that Dallas really didn't have anybody they could bring him down. So I think they're pretty good at that position. They've got some depth. NFL being what it is, again, I think injuries are probably the most crucial factor. If you can keep your main guys healthy throughout the course of the season, I think you have a shot. And I think when you look at the Packers, I think you would put them in that category of teams in the NFC that has a chance. And I think maybe the Bears you would start putting into that category, yeah, too. I think it'll be really interesting in year two under Mark Trestman to see how much better that offense is, how much more comfortable everybody is, how much more comfortable Cutler is. You know, so I think it's going to be a heck of a race. I think it's going to be a heck of a division. I'm excited to kick back and watch some of it.
Well, do you think this year's race is really Bears, Packers, and then, you know, nobody else? Is that what you think this year's going to be?
I do. I mean, I'll be the first to admit that I tend to overemphasize what happened last year. Yeah. Maybe that's just that I'm just so old and I don't remember beyond that. And I lack the capacity to really truly project out in the future. No, kidding. I think those are the two best teams. I think the Bears have a number of question marks defensively, probably more so than the Packers. The Vikings, the thing that will benefit the Minnesota Vikings is that they will play a softer schedule in 2014.
They got the Patriots.
Oh man!
Right away at the beginning.
Well, no,
of the season.
That division plays the AFC East, so yeah. I mean, but overall, I think you would expect some improvement.
Yeah.
With
well,
the
there's
Vikings,
nowhere to go.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's not much more to go. But you mentioned the Vikings. Here's what's interesting with that team is how long before they make the switch to Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. At what point in the season do you say, and if you're the Vikings, do you even want a fast start under Matt Castle, or do you want Bridgewater to get his time at quarterback and start playing for the future? So I think they're in that intriguing position where, you know, everybody says they want to win, and I think, you know, they will definitely play to win, but if you're a third of the way through the season and you're kind of stumbling out of the gate, at what point do you say, hey, it's not going to happen? So let's get our guys ready for the things that are happening beyond.
Right.
And I think you can look at other teams in the division who have done that, or other teams across the NFL that have done that to get a guy out there. If you've got a if you think you have a franchise quarterback, at some point you need to see what he can do.
Sure.
So, but yeah, to answer the question, yeah, I would say that you're going to look at the Packers and the Bears and Lions. it's such a difficult team to project. And how many years have people sat around and looked at the Detroit Lions and say, okay, they're the team that's going to make that great big jump this year?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
It won't happen this year, because you know any team that's got Calvin Johnson at wide receiver, I think has a chance to put up yards and put up points and do it in bunches. But whether they have solved the myriad of other problems that seem to beset that franchise, I guess, remains to be seen. But I would put them behind those other two. And again, that's just based on what these teams have proven on the field in meaningful games in the last couple of 3 years.
Well, and Bob, before we go, we'd be remiss if we did not ask you, for all the fantasy fans out there, you know, we already know about Cobb, Nelson, Rodgers, Lacey, what they're going to give us. Is there anybody that's been showing up in camp so far that you think could have a breakout year for the Packers and put up some good numbers, would be a sleeper for our fantasy players out there?
In terms of fantasy, no. I think you've ticked off the guys that you would want. Nelson and, Cobb, Lacey, if you're one of those leagues that doesn't penalize the running backs relative to the wide receivers, I think those are your guys. And then obviously Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Beyond that, no, I'm not seeing a whole lot offensively that you would say, yeah, this is a fantasy player that you'd want to get. I mean, it all depends on how many people are in your league or that sort of thing. Those would be the guys that you would look to if you didn't have them. I think you're really reaching then if you're going to go down that roster and look at a Jared Boykin or somebody like that, or a Davante Adams. Davante Adams is an intriguing prospect. He did muff two punts in the rain on Saturday. whether that's you tend to overinflate those early preseason games.
Yeah.
That's all the evidence you have.
Yeah.
We've not seen Davante Adams in an NFL game action, and this happens. I mean, he might happen to muff two punts in a preseason game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to make the roster, not necessarily. But he's got the prototype, kind of the bigger body. I kind of liken him to James Jones with better wheels.
Hmm. That's a nice little
a guy to kind of keep an eye on, but again, pretty early. But again, to answer your question, I think you'd go with the tried and true Rodgers, Lacey, Nelson, Cobb as your offensive guys.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bob. You can follow Bob on Twitter at Brado News, Brado News 18. Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, guys. You have a good one, and enjoy the rest of the evening.
And Bonnie, it's time for our music this week, and we have another artist from Goodland Records. It is Milwaukee's Midnight Reruns, and it's off the album Midnight Reruns, self-titled album, and the song is called Summer Smokers. Walker feel about him, you gotta admit. You're a big Butch Walker fan.
Absolutely.
It had that good rock and fun music feel to it.
Yeah, check him out, goodlandrecords.com.
Well, Bobby, it's time for our six pack of questions. And, you know, I started last week, so it's your turn to start.
I'm pretty sure
I started last week,
but okay, I'll start again. All anyways, right. JD, as you said before, you're a big preseason guy. You like to watch. Any first week preseason, any standouts for you? Question 1A. 1A. And 1B. Can you learn anything from preseason? So answer in the order that you feel appropriate.
Right. you get a lot of times where you do have players, and this comes out in the scouting reports, they're gamers. They're not practice players. So you're not going to see it in practice, but they need a game situation to be able to shine. What did I see? For the most part, I liked what I saw in the toughness of Jordan Lynch for the Bears. I have trouble still seeing him as a running back, but boy, what a great tough kid to have as a special teamer.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's been guys in the league who have had a career as a special teamer and a long career.
Oh, absolutely.
So I've been impressed with him. And again, preseason, those games are for a lot of times for gamers. Bobby, would you rather be a famous musician or a Hall of Fame athlete?
Well, how famous of a musician?
You are a famous musician. As famous as you would be if you were a Hall of Fame
okay,
athlete.
So on par with that.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough. I'd probably say famous musician, though. That's just something I already, as we've heard on the podcast before, I have game. All right, basketball. I don't injure myself playing 16-inch softball, so
easy.
That's good enough.
Ouch.
For me. But no, being able to put together a song, go up on stage and perform in front of lots of people and have them love it, that's just something that I'd love to be able to do. JD, Brian Kelly arrived at practice for Notre Dame on a horse. What is the appropriate response to Brian Kelly arriving on horseback?
Here, how is that going to motivate your team? That's, I'm like, what are you, Teddy Roosevelt, right?
Yeah.
What's going on here? I think, to me, he sensed something on the team that everybody was too serious and too uptight. So he's like, I'm just going to do something ridiculous and loosen everybody up. And it did.
Yeah.
So, obviously that means national championship. Doesn't it?
Is that how the team responds? That's
how I look at it.
Oh, boy.
Bobby, my question for you. Post-college, now we're talking post-college.
Yes.
What's the earliest you've gotten up and started drinking?
Oh, man. Post-college, I will say I remember when Northwestern played Illinois at Wrigley Field. College game day was in town. You and I met up. We walked around the stadium. I think that was probably the earliest post-college. And I think that was around 8 a.m.? I think we at least had one, buddy.
Ooh.
Around 8 a.m.
Wow, I blocked that one out.
Or the alcohol did that for you.
Yeah.
JD, the Mannings have a new rap video. They've done the rap video. This is now 2 years in a row for DirecTV. They're doing this. They've also been on Saturday Night Live. What should these two guys do next?
Play football. I mean, let's just be honest. These guys aren't actors.
Oh, they're hysterical, though.
They're fun. They're funny. They were both very good on Saturday Night Live, I thought, but play football. You know, that's what you're paid to
stick
do.
Stick to your day job?
Definitely stick to your day job. Bobby, I want to talk movies. Which is a better movie, Titanic or Josie and the Pussycats?
Every week now, is this what you're doing to introduce us to the sports mockery? People, you're just digging up skeletons from my closet.
Which do you have a DVD?
People
of?
In
which
glass houses. I have Josie and the Pussycats, not only on DVD, I have the soundtrack, JD.
Oh my God.
It's an outstanding soundtrack. I'm not afraid to admit it. And I openly laughed in the movie theater during Titanic. So that tells you my thoughts on Titanic. Next week, JD, you're going to be feeling the pain. Both guns blazing when I come at you this week. I gave you a mulligan for last week.
Oh, no, I'm bringing it.
Oh, all right. Believe me.
No,
I am ready. All right. Well, when we come back, last call, one stop away. JD, Bradley Hardison won a contest.
Oh, congrats. Congratulations, Brad.
Congratulations are in order. So in North Carolina, the police from Camden County had an anti-crime event, and they had a donut-eating contest. What better way? You're crime fighters, you're having the police. You want to do a little joking around, right?
Donuts.
He won the contest, ate 8 donuts in 2 minutes, winning the contest. That, I don't know, in the realm of competitive eating, is that much?
8 in 2?
I'm not going to cast judgment at this point. What we do know is he did win. However, he made a fatal flaw in that he'd been wanted by the Camden County Police for breaking and entering into 2 different businesses that had happened the past few months. So it's pretty easy for them to locate him to interview him because he came to their own anti-crime event and won a contest. So Camden County Sheriff Max Robinson, after seeing him and recognizing the name and realizing, hey, wait a minute, we know you, we've been wanting to talk to you, brought him in for questioning. It's unknown, I don't know, at press time, if he's been charged or not with that. But one of those unwritten rules, I feel like if you're a criminal, you don't bring yourself directly to the police. Don't you try to make them work a little bit at this?
If you win the contest, a donut eating contest, do you get a get out of jail free card? Is that the prize?
That's only a Monopoly, brother.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not in real life.
That's where he was just mistaken.
Yeah. Rules of Monopoly, very different from the rules of life.
Bobby, mine is from Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania police were unable to stay neutral about a man who stole. He's a thief.
All right.
He stole $200 worth of goods. Technically, he stole $200 worth of Swiss cheese. How did he do it? I'm glad you asked, Bobby. Elijah Easton was charged with retail theft and brought to the county jail after he was allegedly caught with 4 logs of Swiss cheese crammed into his pants. Oh, yeah.
Is that a bunch of Swiss cheese? You just have you see me.
The suspect allegedly swiped the logs, which are valued between $52 and $50 each. Now, a store security officer reported seeing him waddling when he walked and followed him outside. When the officer confronted the dude about the cheesy contents in his chinos, he allegedly responded, what cheese? So police searched and discovered the cheese, taken into custody, and they're able to link him to previous Swiss cheese thefts.
Wow.
At this store.
M.O.
Oh, yeah, yeah. During an earlier theft, Eason could be allegedly seen this is the quote from the police, visual bulges in the legs of his pants.
Careful.
Yeah. But why? I mean, I'm not going to his house. Do you want a sandwich?
And stinky
nope.
cheese?
Nope. Don't need a sandwich. I'm good.
You want
mac and cheese? No. I'm good.
You want some pants cheese? Somebody, it's his own brand.
Oh, that's brutal. Well, that brings us close to the station. A big thank you to Bob Bradovich for joining us and talking about the Packers and expectations there. We have a new segment coming up later this week.
Yep, as we talked about in the intro, the Just a Sip segment with Brett Newsky coming up in just a couple days. We hope you enjoy that, and we hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Don't put fruit in my beer.